Some of you came, children, we love children in the church. I didn't get the opportunity to say to you, let them run round. Okay, don't sit there holding, then they get anxious. So if there are any children who want to get up and wander about, they won't come to any harm, and the worst could happen is they might actually amuse us. So they're very, very welcome. Don't worry about them coming out. Now, this morning, it's a great pleasure and a privilege to be taking the baptism. Really, really looking forward to that in a few minutes' time. But the theme today is forgiveness. It's one of the great themes of the Bible. The climax, the whole Bible story in the New Testament tells how Jesus Christ died that we might be forgiven, how our sins will be taken away so that we might have a right relationship with God again. And in the old 1662 service, which we just had, we're reminded of those great words of St. John. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to the end that all that believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's all heavy-duty theological stuff. But the idea of forgiveness is very, very practical. And it's there for us in everyday life. So it's a double pleasure, a triple pleasure to be doing the baptism this morning. Firstly, I love baptism. I was myself baptized in that font back in 1943. So it's just lovely to think of all the thousands of youngsters who come through that font since then. And just love welcoming Elliot in that great camaraderie, fellowship of people who've gone through there for baptism. And then, secondly, I took the marriage preparation course that Perry and Sam attended, and of course I took their wedding. And one of the topics covered in the marriage preparation course to help people in their marriage is a session on forgiveness. Any married couples here might think, I wish I'd had a session on forgiveness before I got married. It's an enormously important topic. The course says that, look, wherever people live together in close proximity, they're bound to rub up against each other. There's bound to be friction. They're bumping into each other, and hurt is inevitable. So to say to youngsters, all beady-eyed and bushy-tailed as they go off to be married, there will be times when you'll need forgiveness. And it's a really powerful process for healing. And the process starts with identifying the hurt. Then the need to say sorry. And that's a prelude to forgiveness, which is one of the great forces for change and healing in a marriage. And forgiveness isn't forgetting what happened or pretending it doesn't matter. Wrong and hurtful behavior needs to be confronted. But a home where there's forgiveness is a home where there is safety. Forgiveness has been an important part of my life. As a priest, I have the privilege of granting absolution after the confession has been said, and say, your sins are forgiven. As a husband, I've had to receive forgiveness from my wife on rather too many occasions. As a parent, obviously one has to learn to forgive as well, just as Perry and Sam will. I think of one occasion where it had a real impact on our family. There was an occasion when the local police took a rather different view to a bit of high-spirited behavior on the part of one of my sons, which ended us up in the local police station, where we had a real old going over from the police force. And my son, I thought, he's learned the lesson. He doesn't need me to tell him that what he did was wrong, and go harking back on that. Just let him know that he's been forgiven, and that order has been restored in the Waits household. So it wasn't a source of friction, but I think because of that, that my son really trusted me after that. He knew that he'd been through something really quite serious with me, and we'd come out the other side, and that he had been forgiven, and that just altered our relationship in perpetuity. I think we don't need to mention it again, but he knows that when it comes to it, I was there for him. And you can say the same thing in religious terms, that we know that God is there on our side. We can always turn around. Our sins will be forgiven, and we'll have that right relationship restored. So we can learn and practice forgiveness in our families. And I've come across forgiveness in many, many different places. I was involved in what was called the F Word Project. That's where they take it into prisons. The F Word Project, Stories of Forgiveness and an Exhibition. It's thought-provoking in prisons or other contexts. It's a collection of images and personal narratives exploring forgiveness in the face of atrocity in that instance. And I got involved with it, it's launched in 2004, and I've seen it here in our local prison, and it really has a big impact when people are confronted with what they've done wrong, but know that there can be forgiveness. Another one is the Sycamore Tree Project, done by the Prison Fellowship. And again, they go into prisons, and the prisoners are told of the experience of their victims. And then they have the opportunity of thinking, well, what is it actually like? The victims talk to them, and with a bit of luck, they get an idea, an understanding of things. They don't have to go on doing those bad things. They can be forgiven, and they can move forward, just like us. And one of the most powerful experiences of forgiveness that I see and come across is in the Alcoholics Anonymous, their 12-step program. And step 8 requires making a list of all persons who've been harmed by the alcoholic or addict. And step 9 means making direct amends to such people whenever possible. And I've seen hundreds of lives completely changed by people experiencing that forgiveness by speaking to the person and receiving forgiveness. And I wasn't able to go to our graduate reunion of the people who've been through our prison program this year, but it's always the most heartwarming thing. You see these really tough criminals who've been through step 8 and 9 and how their lives are completely changed. So that is another level where forgiveness really, really works. Then you can take it a step further. You can take it to a national level. Forgiveness at a national level. Truth and Reconciliation Commissions have been used to reveal wrongdoing in government or state bodies and the hope of resolving conflict left over from the past. The technique's been used in places as differently as Mauritius, East Timor, Guatemala, and most famous, of course, in South Africa. But it does need real repentance, as well. I'm not sure that we've got through that process in Northern Ireland, because the IRA have never really put their hand up and said, yes, we admit that what we did was so wrong. So that it works at a national level, and it's also been incorporated into that concept. It's now actually part of English law. We have what's called restorative justice programs, where the parties confront each other, or not confront, beat each other, and the victim-offender mediation, either through direct contact with the victim and the offender, if appropriate, or indirect communication, but just to, again, to bring across to a young offender what his activities are doing and to show that, yes, he can move on, he can be forgiven, and there can be a new life at the other side of it. And that's the disposal, the restorative justice disposal, is something that magistrates have to try to divert people from the court system. And so, again, you get victim satisfaction, the victim has his fears reduced because they know that person won't come back and burgle them again. Engagement with the perpetrator to ensure that they're aware of the consequence of their actions and have the opportunity to make reparation, get forgiveness, and agree a plan for restoration in the community. So forgiveness works at many, many levels. For Christians, the supreme example, of course, is Jesus on his way to his execution on the cross. He prayed for his executioners, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he taught his disciples, he taught us that Lord's Prayer, "And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us." Forgiveness is part of a Christian's DNA. The Pope recently wrote a lovely book entitled The Name of God is Mercy. And he was saying that the Catholic Church needs to have forgiveness at the heart and to move from being judgmental to being merciful, things like admitting divorced people to communion. And so that, he hopes, will change the Catholic Church, that idea of forgiveness built and mercy built into their system. And Psalm 103 captures this loving God and his forgiving nature. "The Lord is merciful and loving, slow to become angry and full of constant love. He doesn't keep on rebuking. He's not angry forever. He doesn't punish us as we deserve or repay us according to our sins and wrongs. As high as the sky is above the earth, so great is his love for those who honor him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our sins from us. As a father is kind to his children, so the Lord is kind to those who honor him. For those who honor the Lord, his love lasts forever. His goodness endures for all generations of those who are true to his covenant and who faithfully obey his commands. Forgiveness is a gift from God that works at every level, family, country, nations. It works at every level, no matter what we have done. Amen.